You guys to stand up and greet each other this morning. When we do junior and senior youth, if we would do something like that, it ends up getting a little more rowdy than it does in here this morning. But that was good. Good to see the energy. Good to see that people still are awake this early in the morning. That's good. Some announcements. If you have an announcement that you'd like to make, come on up and we'll do those as well. A few things to highlight. There's a note from the Finance Committee. Take note of that. I'm going to let people make their announcements first, and then I'll do the rest of them.
Okay. So in your bulletin, there's an encounter event called First School of the Kingdom. I'm just the voice of reason from Janessa this morning, so take it up with her if you got any questions. She's kind of the one planning it. I'm just the messenger. So, yeah, it starts at 7 on April 14th, so that's Thursday at Grace Mennonite Church in Winkler. Yeah, you can come hear testimonies from my fellow students that I went to school with. Get coffee, because coffee's really good. It's food. I don't know who wouldn't want to be there if there's food. I mean, I'm personally one that goes anywhere with food, so I'm kind of motivated by that. Not really, no. So, yeah, I don't know. Janessa asked for me to share something quickly about what School of Kingdom has done for me, and I think it's been a really good experience. I've been home for about a month now, and it's just a time where I could take time for myself, and after graduating, I didn't really do that a whole lot. It was always kind of go, go, go all the time, and so it was just a time for me to just say, what does Kim need, and it's just, yeah, that's been really good. So, I mean, if you want to hear about that, I mean, I'm not going to be sharing there, but I'll definitely be there, so, yeah, come and see what that's all about. Yeah, cool.
Our church is planning to do a new church directory this spring, and we will start doing the photos on tomorrow. I have two sign-up sheets there, one for Monday, one for Thursday. So if you want to have a look at that, and if you're free to come in and get your family photo or your individual photo, depending who you are taken, please sign up. If you have any questions, I put a phone number down there, and we'll go from there. We'll see how many we get filled, and then we'll add more days as needed. Thank you.
Just wondering, Ray, where's the sign-up sheet?
It's on the
bulletin board in the foyer. Okay, good, good. Right under the ministerial, we meet once a month, and we have invited John Dirksen to come and speak regarding the influx of people from other countries, people from other religions into this area. We think that John Dirksen is a qualified person to come and speak to us. I've heard him before. He has spent a number of years living in Saudi Arabia, in Jordan, currently a professor at Menno Simons College and Canadian Mennonite University. He is coming tonight to Altona EMMC Church at 7 o'clock. He will give us a brief history of the whole brief history of the rise of Islam, the basic beliefs of their religion, the ways that we as Christians can best engage and relate with them. There will be a presentation that he will give probably for close to an hour, half hour, on the whole history of the rise of Islam, plus another 20 minutes or more on the whole cultural aspect of their religion. And there will be time for question and answers after that. If you are at all interested, we would invite you to come tonight at the EMM Church at 7 o'clock for that presentation.
Some other announcements just to take note of. Salem Foundation is inviting you to attend FOSPA Fellowship and Song. That's today as well. Program starts at 4, FOSPA's at 5. And then there's a couple of other ones down there. Lori and Mark Miller and Char and Ray Klossner inviting you to join us in celebrating with Peter Zacharias. He's turning 80, which is pretty amazing. You can read the announcement there, but the details are it's at Grace Mennonite Church on April 16th at 2:30. And then Winkler Bible Camp is also hosting annual Women's Night Out thing. Check that out as well. For youth this week is Bible study for senior youth and junior youth as well. And then next week, it's a little bit different. Senior youth will be on Friday. We'll be going bowling. So check out the other announcements there. Read them as you want. If reading's not your thing, ask somebody else to read them to you. We also just want to continue to pray for Dave and Erica, who left on Wednesday for Thailand. They'll be visiting Natalie and John out there. Continue to pray for safety, good health, and a chance to reconnect and encourage each other there. And we want to also continue to remember Robert Petker as he recovers from major surgery at home. Tenley Falk was able to resume school this past week and continues to process the many changes in her life. And Skylar Hildebrandt also is continuing treatments. So we'll continue to pray for them as well as those in care homes, Susan Jansen, Trudy Harms, Helen Fair, Helen Jansen, and Jake Rempel, as well as praying for all of the missionaries that are listed there in our bulletin as well, who are doing great work. And I also would like to say welcome back to Jake and Agatha. It's good to see you guys here this morning. Yeah, that's good. All right. For a call to worship this morning, I wanted to read from Psalm 105, verses 4 to 6. It says, "Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his wonders which he has done, his marvels and the judgments uttered by his mouth. O seed of Abraham, his servant, O sons of Jacob, his chosen ones." And Psalm 77, 11 to 14 also says, "I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples." And just with those verses, I wanted to mention that it's important that we remember the things that God has done, and that we don't forget them, that we continually remember them, what God has done for Israel, but also what God has done for us. And so that's kind of one of the things that we want to do this morning is to share about our SOAR experience for those that were on SOAR this week, about what God has done, and then also hopefully that will help us as SOAR, people who went on SOAR, to remember it in the future as well a little bit better. And for you guys as well to hear what God has done and is doing, because he is at work. And so I want to encourage you as well, if you have stories of things where God has been at work in your life or you've been noticing him, then don't hesitate to share those with each other throughout the week, even as you think of those. It's important to hear what God is doing and to take note of those things as well. Let's pray. God, we thank you for all that you have done and are doing. We thank you that you are in our midst, that you walk with us throughout the week. God, thank you for the things that you did for us when we were youth and the things that you've done for us in our lives currently as well. Thank you for the way that you are at work, and when we look for where you're at work, we see what you're doing. And pray that you would help us to see past the distractions, the things that want to take our attention away from you this morning. We pray for those who are in care homes, those who are serving in other countries or in our own. And we ask that you would give everybody what they need and continue to show them your love and care. Thank you that we can gather here this morning without fear of being persecuted And we ask that you would be with our brothers and sisters across the world who have to live with that fear. Help us to remember you every day. And we pray that you would be glorified this morning. Amen. Call up Reveille.
Good morning. In youth this year, we've been learning a lot about who Jesus is and how he lived and served. So this morning, we're going to be singing lots of songs about and saying that it's not about us, but it's all about him. And so I'll invite you to stand, please.
In the secret, in the quiet place, pressing onward, pushing every hindrance aside, out of my way, 'cause I want to know.
For our prayer time this morning, I want to, I'm going to call Josh up for offertory. Thank you, Josh. Philippians 4, verses 4 to 7 say, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." One of the things that we do on SOAR a little bit is we try some weird stuff. Not that weird, but they encourage us to do some different things in our spiritual journey. And one of the things that we do sometimes is some imaginative prayer exercises or things like that. And so I want to do a little bit of that with you guys this morning. This passage says, "Don't worry about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And so I want you to close your eyes with me and imagine that you have a backpack sitting in front of you. Now imagine that there's those things that you're worried about this week that keep crowding into your mind when you're sitting there trying to pray or trying to think about what God's doing. Take those things, pack them up, however you do that. You can imagine crumpling a paper into a ball or wrapping a gift, even though worries don't seem like gifts. And take each of those things, those emotions or those worries, and put them in the backpack in front of you. Now, often we will take that backpack and carry it around with us as we go through our days or through our weeks. But I want you to imagine that Jesus is there and he says, I'm going to take your backpack today. I'll carry it for you. You don't have to carry all these things this morning or throughout this day. And you can ask him, Jesus, what do you want to say to me today? What's your word for the day? Thank you, God, that we can bring our worries and our cares before you, and that you carry those for us. Thank you for the ways that you have given us grace, and the way that your peace covers us and guards our hearts and our minds. We thank you that you are with us this morning. We're going to do some more singing now.
So these next two songs are going to be a little bit new, but I know one of them for sure was sung on Soar, but yeah, just some songs we've been singing at youth this year. So if you don't know the song, you can just listen, or but you can stand if you want, you can sit if you want, it's up to you.
Great are you, Lord.
next one, I'll invite you to stand for.
How I need your grace,
than my words can say. Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. In all my weaknesses, you are my confidence. Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Have a seat.
I will be reading from Romans 8, 11 to 17. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same living Spirit within you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if you live through the power of the Spirit who put death, the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we also must share his suffering.
Like everybody, even if they hadn't been on SWAR previously, has just been so like they've gone headfirst into everything. They've said, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm gonna jump with both feet and God is gonna carry me. So it's just been really cool to see that going on. Through stories that I hear, other people's experiences, and he's really just softened my heart, and that's also helped me connect with other people, and it's just helped me love way more.
One of the most rewarding things for me is that every year coming back and the kids that remember you, the very first day is always one of my favorites.
You can definitely see from talking with these kids, there's a lot of brokenness in some of these homes. But alongside that, there's so much happiness too. Like seeing how all these kids connect with one another and us. So just being able to share our stories with them, it's just adding a lot of light that they're not the only ones going through this kind of stuff.
Past little while, God has really been trying to open my heart. And I think that in the past I've had a really closed and cold heart. And through worship and through speaking and through just messages, God has really broken down walls around my heart. We'll be right back. think God is calling me right now to surrender my complete and total heart to Him, and that just that everything in your life right now, everything you see around you is just for such a short moment, and that God is so eternal.
That's just a snippet of Soar, done in a much more artistic way than I will this morning, probably. Should I touch that? No? Okay. I'm going to invite all the people that were on Soar to come on up, and then I'm going to ask some questions of them, and we'll kind of answer stuff as we go along. Come on up. Come on up. Don't be afraid. I just wanted to mention that this year the theme of Soar Heartland was greater. And one of the things that they hoped to do through that was to explore how the death and resurrection of Jesus invites us to walk in God's greater purpose for our lives with adventurous expectancy. And so that's kind of their snapshot of what their hope was for Soar Heartland. And those verses to Romans 8:11-17 talk about the Holy Spirit in us and as Christians how that is our hope. The hope is that with the Holy Spirit in us, we do have greater purpose, we have greater value, we have greater joy, we have greater hope. But we also do share with Christ in his suffering sometimes, and we hurt for those who hurt. And that happens as well, and it's not always comfortable. So today we're going to answer a few questions about SOAR. For some of you, you've been hearing about SOAR for years, and so you're like, okay, I think I know what that is. So bear with us as we do kind of the basics for a little bit. First of all, Soar Heartland is a 10-day short-term mission experience in Winnipeg. It started off about 14 years ago. It was the first time they did it, and they were mostly in the North End then. And now they actually partner with ministries all over Winnipeg, doing all sorts of different things. There's some a lot of kids ministry that happens, but also they're partnering with I Am Second as well, with some of their teams doing door-to-door evangelism. Or other sorts of ministry as well. And so they kind of partner with organizations that are already set up and already doing things, and that's one of their main visions as MB Mission is to partner with existing people that are doing stuff, not to start something new. Because in a 10-day period, you can get a lot of momentum for a very short thing, but then who's going to keep that going afterward? And so the hope is to partner with ministries that are thriving already and doing stuff and just help them for a week. I get to experience a little bit more of the city of Winnipeg and stuff like that as well. So I think that's a snapshot of what SOAR is. Their rhythm works kind of like this. They have the first 3 days of SOAR are orientation, basically giving you some information on issues in the city that their ministries are working with and stuff like that, which you saw in the video, a couple of different spaces that they had groups of kids in. On Friday, we do a learning tour where we go around and we hear about different things going on. One of the things they talked about this year at a place called Many Rooms is mental health and how that affects people in the inner city and low-income families and stuff. And people is just because they have a harder time finding housing and things like that. And so that's one of the partners is Many Rooms. And there's a bunch of other things as well. At-risk youth, they talk about a little bit here and there. And so there's lots of issues in the city of Winnipeg, but not only there, in our area as well. But it's kind of like you get a snapshot of knowing what's going on in Winnipeg and how the church or people are working to bring reconciliation in those places as well. And then the 5 days after that are ministry week, where we go into our ministries and we worship together in the morning. Then we all go out and then we come back together for supper and for an evening session as well. There's lots of worship, lots of prayer. Lots of stuff like that happening as well. And every day we do a team time as well where we debrief as a team how ministry day went, but then also kind of other things. What's God doing in you? What do you see God doing in each other, kind of thing as well. And then the last day and a half is debrief time, where we talk about the week and how do we bring this forward and how do we take this into the next steps, because a mission experience isn't just 10 days. It's something that affects your life, and we want to bring that in and not just have it as, that was that thing that happened on SOAR, and now this is normal life, so that doesn't affect life. So I'm going to ask some questions of these awesome young people who are looking really nervous, and then we'll go from there. Hopefully they'll have some good things to share as well. So first question is this. As part of the learning tour day this year, we did something new called a blanket exercise. My question for that is, what is the blanket exercise, and what were some of your thoughts about that experience? And go.
Well, hi. I'm freezing this morning, so I'm shivering. But anyways, the blanket exercise was like, we learned about how Aboriginals and about like all that stuff going on, like when they first came and what went on and how they got like put on reserves in the schools and how they got affected by it. And it was crazy because like the blankets were like where we were living. So, and then slowly we died off. And then yeah, we just kind of went through a simulation of what happened to the Aboriginals. And it was like much cooler actually seeing it all happen. You actually get a better idea of what's going on, because like you can see, physically see, like, oh man, like half the people just got wiped out, like with one small disease, and it's like just everyone dies off, and then how their land just got shrunk. And it's really cool to see it in a much more physical way, and just it showed me it just like better to understand, because we learn about this stuff in school, but it gave me a much, much better understanding of like what actually happened and stuff, and also how Mennonites were connected to it. But yeah, anyways, it was pretty awesome.
Cool. Yeah, the blanket exercise is a very interesting thing that they did, and I'd never been a part of something like that before, and it was one of the things that stuck out to me about that experience was that they shared a fact that there were generals or admirals or people in the army anyway that would trade, they traded people blankets that had smallpox. They traded these to the indigenous people in the purpose of wiping them out, which really kind of made me mad, because that's just not right or good. And so that was a very interesting and real way to kind of take the facts off the paper and put them into a context. They had people reading and stuff, and it took quite a bit of time, but I think it was a very worthwhile thing as well. Now I'm going to ask a couple of you guys to come and share about the specific ministries, Indigenous Family Center and Barbara Mitchell. What were those about? So, Jesse.
So at the Indigenous Family Center, that's where me and Lauren were from this group. And it was a larger team from MCI. And we went and basically ran a VBS for the 5 days and just played with the kids, showing them God's love. Lots and lots of energy was spent running around with those kids. And yeah, we just basically had a blast with them from when we got there around 10:30, 11, and till it was time for the leaders to kick them out, because they just wanted to stay and keep having fun.
Just a couple more questions, Jesse. How many kids came, and where were they from, or who? What kind of people were they?
So we had about 10 to 15 kids come on a regular basis. On Friday, we had an influx of like 20, 25, something like that. But these kids come from really rough family situations, and so some of their behavior is a little interesting at times, and they don't know how to express their appreciation to you for spending all this time with them and how much fun they've really had and whatever. So, yeah.
All right, Josh, you want to share about Barbara Mitchell?
So our group served at a place called Barbara Mitchell Family Resource Center, and that was awesome. We didn't have 10 people. We had more like 43, and they were very rowdy, very, very rowdy people. And most of them were immigrants in that area with low income, so it was great to be able to serve and to just, like, have that experience. That place that we were at, Barbara Mitchell, is doing a lot of reaching out to not only kids, but also to, like, they have some seniors programs and stuff, and they're just doing some really great work, just loving on people, and so that's awesome. The kids were 7 to 12, I believe. They were, yeah, pretty young group. Most of them were on the younger side, so, yeah, that was pretty rowdy, and it was lots of fun.
Josh, were the kids mostly from, like, one place, or were they from kind of all over?
Most of them were immigrants from Africa, were mostly. Yeah, they played soccer very well. It was lots of fun to do that.
I remember hearing that one of the kids named Emmanuel was always up in arms about some rule or another that needed to be reinforced, which is great. Thanks, Josh. Another thing about Barbara Mitchell, I was there with that team. Me and Susie Dick, who's a residence dean at MCI, were leading the Barbara Mitchell team, which had about 12 students from MCI on them, including a bunch from here. And then the team that went to Indigenous Family Center was led by Judson and Ashley Rempel, who Judson used to be at MCI. He's Bernie and Tammy's daughter. And they led the team there, and they had about 10 kids as well that were serving there. Linda, can you show that video? We have a video from Barbara Mitchell that one of our team members put together that was pretty cool. He did it on a phone in a day. Snapshot of what Barbara Mitchell was like. Lots of energy, lots of kids, a lot of fun too. It was really good. One of the things about Barbara Mitchell as well is the facility is only about 5 years old, but the person who is our ministry host that was there, she's been working there for 15 years. And so she was excited when they built the new building. That was a pretty big thing to be able to provide more space and more resources. And they actually use the space really well. They don't have any storage, hardly, in their building. And they move stuff around all over the place. But they pretty much pack it out. They use as much spaces they have in there. It's pretty amazing. One of the rooms is called the living room, and they have a kitchen in there and some chairs and stuff, and they have a bunch of programs that make use of that space. but they also, these 40 kids that came, they come to a program every week called TASK, which I don't remember what it stands for, but our ministry host loved acronyms. But basically, that program is like it's like teaching the kids to cook with their parents and stuff as well. But what happens is they have 40 kids in there, and they teach them to cook, and they have three volunteers, and they let these kids use knives. And I was talking to the one lady, and she was really funny. Her name was Hermat, and she was saying that, she's from Kyrgyzstan, so her accent was a little bit different than mine. But she was saying, yeah, these kids, they come, and at first, like, they got some cuts and stuff, but now they're okay. so I thought that was pretty funny, how they get to work with these rowdy kids in the kitchen with sharp knives. I think we should pray for them. All right, the next question that I have is, how did you see God at work in your team?
Okay, so I saw God at work in my team all over the place. But condensing it a little bit, one thing that really stood out to me was watching Satan try to attack team members. And that was very real and very real for me. And watching how the other team members noticed this and rallied around that person and prayed for them. And I feel like Satan wasn't really getting his agenda accomplished. And I watched our team be united in Jesus because that's where our focus was. So I'm going to share a little story here about Bob and Joe. I won't use their real names, but it actually happened. So there was this one time when Bob was going through a really intense spiritual battle, and Bob had a bunch of people praying over him at the time. Joe didn't know that Bob was going through anything, and yet felt that struggle between good and evil very physically while praying for Bob. And a day later, Joe found out what Bob had been going through and was praying, God, I need to talk to this guy. And as Joe was praying this, Joe heard footsteps and was like, oh no, God, not now. And it was Bob walking up to Joe, and they had a good talk. And it was really cool to see how God uses other people to step in those situations. And yeah, it's crazy how Jesus moves. And then related to that, so on Thursday, our first day at SOAR there, for the evening session, we started off in the gym. Normally our sessions take place in the sanctuary. And we started off in the gym, and we did a prayer walk to the sanctuary, which is actually quite a distance in that church. And we prayed that God would mess with our expectations. That can be a scary prayer to pray anytime, never mind on SOAR. And so we continued, and on Tuesday evening, at the evening session, our song leader reminded us of this prayer we had prayed. And, wow. Yeah, I went on SOAR last year and came into SOAR this year with expectations of how God was going to move, what our ministry week was going to look like, what our team was going to look like. I don't know why I would have expectations when I pray that prayer on Thursday.
Does anybody else want to answer that question? You can be brave. No? Okay. One of the things that I like what Jesse said there, that we We need each other as the body. We need to be able to rely on each other and to reach out to each other. And something that I really appreciated and felt while we were there was the prayer support of our congregation. We really appreciate that you guys were praying for us. I was also sending messages to our care group and to some of the parents throughout the week as there were prayer requests and stuff. And that was really a beneficial thing to know that there were people upholding us in prayer back home. That was very, very helpful as well. Especially when you get tired and sick and all of those sorts of things that seem to come along with these short-term mission trips. Although our team actually, as far as I know, nobody got terribly sick, so that was a blessing. So praise the Lord for that. The next question I have for you guys, if a couple of you would answer, is how did you see God at work in yourself?
Well, one of my assignments this week was music, and this was my first time actually playing, like, leading singing with someone while playing piano also, and the one practice that we had was the day we left, and then our next practice was Monday morning when we were supposed to be leading singing, and God just gave me, through the week, he just gave me increased confidence in what I was doing and that I was doing it for him and to worship him.
Hi again. The way I saw God working in me is because, well, just before going on SOAR, I would say, like, during the beginning of school, all the way up to a month before SOAR, I was kind of like spiritually, had my spiritual matter open way, if you remember from Seth's talk. But yeah, so I was like, had spiritual matter open, and then I remembered SOAR was coming up, and then it just reminded me, like, wow, because of SOAR last year, I was like, wow, I've totally like put God to the side, and so I started like trying to talk to God more and pray more again, and as going on SOAR, I could just see God like restoring that love back in me for him, and it was just amazing. Just like I fell in love with God again, and it was just like I want to keep that going, and so yeah, it was amazing just to be in love with God.
I saw God at work in myself through the insane energy I mysteriously had. I'm an introvert. I need time away from people. And on SOAR, you don't tend to get a lot of that time. And I was essentially able to be an extrovert for the 10 days, which was really awesome.
It's great to hear what God is doing in us. One of the ways that I appreciated God at work in myself throughout the week was just that when I needed to help the team with things, that God gave me the strength that I needed and energy as well, because I'm not a teenager anymore. Not that old either, but I feel like I am sometimes. But no, it was a really good week, and God really worked in that. The next question that I have is, tell us about somebody you met on SOAR.
So on Sunday evening during session, we did a prayer exercise where we asked God for clues for what we were supposed to look for in the ministry week. And I got the colors pink and purple. And then the next day I met two girls who were wearing pink and purple shirts. And I just hung out with them all weekend. That was pretty fun.
So on Monday, it was our first day of ministry. And I remember after that day, I was super tired. And I was kind of disappointed because I didn't really have anybody I built a connection to, and I was just wondering what God had in store for that week. But the next day, there was a kid who came who hadn't been there the first day. His name was Samuel, and he was awesome. He was really energetic and enthusiastic, and we just built a connection really fast, and we had a great time. But not only that, I feel like I learned a lot about the people on my team, too. Sort of met them in a different way. And I learned, hearing lots of stories on SOAR, it was really powerful that way, too.
Another person I met this week on SOAR was Flo, who is our host at Barbara Mitchell. She was pretty fun. She's been working there for 15 years, and she loves the kids. She's got lots of ideas for activities, and she is a very organized planner. She's really good at that, so that was fun to get to meet her. One of the fun things about the week, too, was the other staff. We met at the center. One of the guys' names was Habib, and he was the washroom coordinator, which was an inside joke there because he's the janitor, but he felt he needed a title that was a little bit more different because at a meeting they had, everybody was going around and they were saying, I'm the coordinator of this, I'm this coordinator, I'm this coordinator. And so when it got to his turn to introduce himself, he just said, I'm the washroom coordinator, which was pretty funny. And he'll always tell everybody when you go to the center that in order to turn the lights on in the washroom, you have to walk in 4 steps and clap 3 times because they've got motion sensors and he likes to just make people do silly things to make it go on. And the 4 rules of the bathroom were no talking, no breathing, no counting money, and something else that was really silly. But it was a lot of fun. One of the fun things about Flo is that we got to prank her on April Fool's Day with her coworkers because they organized it. The lady, her mat that I was talking about before, she thought that we should pretend like she was dying. But we thought that was a little overkill. So we toned it down a bit. And Flo teaches first aid to people sometimes, and she was gone at the store, and so her mat thought that it would be hilarious if we called her with alarms going off and people screaming, and that would be a really good thing to do, she thought. It would be really good. But we said, no, maybe that's a bad idea. So instead, one of the youth pretended to injure their ankle playing basketball, and so we were all gathered around this person in the gym holding handfuls of glitter. And when Flo came in, her mat ran across from the living room into the gym, looking panicked with an ice pack, and just, and then Flo came in, what's going on? And Peter was the guy who was on the floor, and he was screaming about his ankle, and we were all like, oh no. And then Flo came in, and we tossed glitter all over her, which then she went around with the canister later, shaking it all over us, which was fun. My last question for you guys today is, what is one thing that you're able to take away from your SOAR experience that will affect your everyday life and faith?
Okay, one thing I can take away is just like the connections I made with some people on my team, as in Josh and Caleb, as in we haven't yet, but we're still planning to like meet up like every week and maybe start a Bible study or something. But like to keep that connection and keep praying for each other and keep talking about what's going on and just to really keep the connection there and make sure, our spiritual life is up to date and just keep things going.
One thing that I will take away from my SOAR experience, we'll be listening for and to God's nudges and acting on them. It's always a good idea, and you recognize God's nudges when you have that little fear about doing something that you know Jesus would smile at.
On Sunday, I went to a drawing and prayers workshop where we could draw our prayers, and that just taught me that God hears my prayers even if I can't put them into words.
one thing I think I realized was, like Tyson was saying, about a spiritual metaslope and how I shouldn't have Jesus as a secret hidden and just take him out whenever I need him. And I think that was one thing I realized about myself.
Something that I learned this week, again, maybe relearned, that was helpful for me was that God doesn't need me to work. He's already working. And I think that's something important for all of us to remember, is that God is at work, not so that we be lazy or anything like that, but just to recognize that even when we can't do something about a situation or we don't know what to do, God is already ahead of us. He's already working in that situation, and we can trust that his work is good. And also that we need each other. We can't do it all on our own. We're not each person individually the church. We are the church together. And we need to rely on each other when in everyday life, even if we need prayer about stuff and things like that. So thank you for listening to our SOAR sharing. I've encouraged the students just that if they get asked about it, that they don't just say, you know, if people say, how is your SOAR experience? That they don't just say, it was good. Because it's easy to let that slide then and be like, oh, okay, cool, that was good, right on. But I also want to encourage you, as you talk to the people that were on SOAR, or people that have been in the past, I guess, or even just as you talk to people about where they're seeing God in their lives, to ask more open-ended questions, maybe. Not necessarily just, how is your relationship with God today, or whatever, but asking open-ended questions about maybe, where have you seen God at work in your life? Where have you seen him in the relationships that you have, and the people that you meet in your everyday, and even asking these wonderful SOAR people, tell me a story of somebody or something that happened on SOAR, that somebody that you met that was meaningful or important. Those are helpful connections as well. So thank you for listening and praying with us, just being with us this morning. I'm going to invite Reve up for another song.
Okay, you can stand for the final song, please.
Shine.
I'm going to read from Hebrews 10, 23 to 25 today for our benediction. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Amen. Go in peace.